The markets advanced today. The reason? Well, bond prices came back from the brink and bank stocks surged. It's the Business News headlines for Friday, the 16th of August. Thanks, everybody, for being with us again today. GE bounces back. Hey, what if you're a Wells Fargo checking account customer and your account gets closed, but the bank continues to charge fees? It's a story. A man saved $100,000 in 5 years by moving into a tiny house. John Deere is feeling the impact of the trade war. Work and praise. Doesn't matter. Those stories, and because it's Friday, Jeff Pitts and Trevor Babcock are in to talk about stuff to do in the metro this weekend into next week. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Great to have you along, as always. Well, bond prices edged higher today after yesterday's rout. Falling bond yields, which rattled the markets this week, climbed back slightly from their historic lows, erasing some of the recession fears. The U.S. 30-year Treasury yield dropped to a record low yesterday, while the yield on the benchmark 10-year T-note dipped to a 3-year low as investors sought out safe haven assets. On the rise of the bonds came a rise in bank stocks that were hard hit this week. Still, major stock averages are set to post their third straight weekly losses, with the Dow down on the week, the S&P 500 as well. August has been a volatile and brutal month for the stock market, as the Dow's lost more than 4%. Check our Twitter stream for numbers as the day goes on. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Well, General Electric stock bounced back today after the CEO shored up confidence by purchasing a bulk of the company's shares and analysts who defended the industrial giant. GE stock was up by more than 7% after its biggest drop since April of 2008. Yesterday, shares tanked by 11%. The stock began its downward spiral after Harry Markopoulos, best known for pointing out irregularities with Bernie Madoff's investments, published a report accusing GE of fraudulent financial statements. Larry Culp, who took over as the struggling industrial conglomerate's CEO last year, bought 252,200 shares at $7.93 each. All that according to a filing yesterday with the SEC. The CEO has roughly doubled his holdings with GE stock this week. Bodes well, apparently, if the boss is going to buy into his own company. Well, Wells Fargo has been trying to rebuild its credibility after a series of scandals. The bank has paid more than $15 billion in settlements since the financial crisis to resolve investigations into misdeeds, including the creation of fraudulent accounts in customers' names and requirements that auto loan borrowers pay for unnecessary insurance. So when this news broke today, it becomes yet another public relations disaster for the company. Here's the story as reported by the New York Times. It seems Wells Fargo closed an account that belonged to a roofing company for what they're saying is confidential reasons back on June 27th of this year. Whatever the reason, the owner of CRV Construction went to the Wells Fargo branch to collect his funds. The account was, by all measures, closed. However, for weeks after the date the bank said the accounts would be closed, it kept some of them active. Payments to the company's insurer, to Google for online advertising, and to a provider of management software were paid out of the empty accounts in July. Each time the bank charged CRV Construction $35 in overdraft fees. The owner called the bank, went to the bank, and found out that he now owed $1,500 in overdrafts. Well, current and former bank employees said CRV was charged because of the way Wells Fargo's computer system handles closed accounts. An account the customer believes to be closed can stay open if it has a balance even one below zero. And each time a transaction is processed for an overdrawn account, well, Wells Fargo tax on a fee. The problem has gone unaddressed by the bank despite complaints from customers and employees, including one in the bank's debt collection department, who grew concerned after taking in an estimated $100,000 in overdraft fees over 8 months. A spokesperson for the bank said that he could not comment on specific accounts for privacy reasons, but said the bank reviews accounts to protect customers and was, quote, committed to doing things in such a way to minimize the risk and impact to our customers, end quote. However, it seems this is not the only case. Others shared with the Times that they too had been hit with overdraft fees even after their account had been closed. Yeah, another PR nightmare for Wells Fargo. Well, he moved into a tiny house that he constructed for about $30,000, and in 5 years, he saved $100,000. Business Insider shared the story of 35-year-old Ryan Mitchell, who runs the blog The Tiny Life, and is true to his craft. He lives in a 150-square-foot tiny house, which he credits for his new wealth. Before moving into his tiny house, Mitchell, who previously worked in nonprofits and human resources, was spending about $1,500 a month on rent, utilities, insurance, and other standard living expenses. He said that most Americans spend 30% to 50% of their income on housing costs. That includes rent or mortgage, upkeep, utilities, taxes, insurance, cable, internet. Well, today, Mitchell's total living expenses run about $1,000 a month, and he was able to save over half of his monthly income. And in 5 years, those savings have come to $100,000. Running The Tiny Life earns him a little more than enough to cover his monthly expenses and allocate about half of his overall monthly income to savings, he said, adding that he only has to work about, get this, 5 hours a week to meet all of his bills, savings, and retirement needs, which gives him a great lifestyle. The Tiny Life does sound intriguing, doesn't it? John Deere is the world's largest manufacturer of farm equipment, and they've been slammed by trade tariffs and low crop prices. The result is the company reported declining profit and sales in the second quarter, and now has hinted at job cuts to come. Deere has seen China's purchases of its products fall by more than half this year, while sales in the U.S. have dropped because farmers are losing crop sales to China under our tit-for-tat tariff between the two countries. Meanwhile, startups are designing robots to perform the work of machines made by Deere, one of America's five oldest companies. Once again, technology and jobs. This is a story that a fellow by the name of Andrew Yang has been preaching during his 2020 presidential run. Maybe somebody should be paying attention. And finally, there's this bit of news. A survey of 1,500 employees across the United States, the United Kingdom, and Australia has found that workers need constant recognition, meaning those ad hoc thank you emails, a one-off good job, or your company's annual awards night might not be good enough. The Reward Gateway survey found that employees are demanding to be praised in more timely and meaningful ways. Also, 45% of employees thought their manager unfairly rewarded certain people over others, and a third of respondents thought that they had received inadequate rewards for their service. The message here is pretty straightforward, it would seem. Before you start employee rewarding, make sure that you're doing so in a thoughtful manner. And that, we have found, leads to engagement rather than entitlement. Now, if you missed that conversation about engagement versus entitlement with Ro Crosby of Tarot International, you will find it back up on our Twitter stream today. You're welcome. It is Friday, and coming up next, Jeff Pitts and Trevor Babcock from City View Magazine with stuff to do in the Des Moines Metro this weekend into next week.